Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
Now, are you ready to hear a word from the Lord today? All right, the five of us who are ready will go into my office, unless the rest of you tell me you're ready to hear a word of the Lord today. All right, here's the deal. 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 18. The Apostle Peter would say this. He would say, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to make sure you get that. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to make sure the balcony gets that. He says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Friends, the operative word here is grow. Now, I want you to get that, so I'm gonna give months of teaching on this topic of grow, and I want you to get it today. I want you to get your friendly finger out. If you're visiting because of the baptism and dedication, I ask people to leave their driving finger in their pocket and get their friendly finger out and turn to their neighbor and say, grow. Grow. You need to know that when the apostle tells us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he is not offering a suggestion. Are you hearing me? Neither is he offering an option. Rather, when Peter says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, he is giving a command. Now, if you are a follower of Christ, you have one option here. Actually, you have two. Option number one is to hear the command to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and to ignore it, and that option is called disobedience. The second option is to hear the command to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and actually do something about your growth. You have two options. It's either disobedience or growth. And the imagery that Peter is using when he uses the word grow, it's agricultural in nature. So let me add to the disobedience or grow by saying this. If you ain't growing, you're dying. Here's the problem with the American church. Since 1955, the American church has been on the decline in the United States of America. Studies will tell you, in large part, it's because we have become cultural Christians. People who chalk up Christianity as a part of their ethnicity or their country of origin. And some go to church once in a while, but that does not mean people become sold out disciples of Jesus Christ. And is it any wonder that the American church then, which is filled with cultural Christians, has been on the decline since 1955. But who cares about the American church? That's not personal enough. You know what we ought to care about? The river. So who is a part of the river? Just let me hear if this is your church home. Just give me some noise, right? All right, so here's what I'm talking about and who I'm talking to today. I'm wondering if our growth, although we've had some, has been limited because many of us in the room have been cultural Christians and not sold out disciples of Jesus who commit to a life of growing. And I'm wondering if there's people in this room for whom the concept of actually putting effort into their growth and their discipleship, it's a strange thought. And I wonder if there's some disobedient followers of Christ in this room who need to hear the voice of the Lord say, get up, get busy, and start growing. Here's the problem. Well, you know, before I do that, let me just tell you something. Jesus would say this. In John 10:10, it's one of my favorite verses. You've heard it many times if you've been here for a while. He would say, I've come that they might have life and that they might have it just to kind of skate through so that they can get to heaven. Somebody say, I'm just surviving. Yeah, that's what Jesus wants for you, just to barely get through. You see, that's not what it says. It says, I've come that they might have life and have it to the full, an abundant, overflowing type of life. And this type of life that Jesus offers to us only comes to the ones who commit time and energy to their growth. You see, God has showers of blessings that he's unleashing on planet Earth. And when we put the effort into our growth, we just walk into the shower and we receive the blessings. But when we walk in disobedience by not putting the effort into our growth, we just remove ourselves from the abundant blessing that the Lord has. So I'm talking to everybody from little kid to old person. God wants you to grow so that you can experience the blessings he has for you. Amen. See, the reality is your world, this is not just preacher talk. This is biblical truth. Your world is better when you grow in your relationship with Jesus. The world around you is better. Therefore, people benefit from you getting with Jesus. Get with Jesus, and the world is a better place. So the word is grow, and we're going to spend some time on this word grow and this concept of your discipleship for months to come. But it really ought not surprise you. Let me remind you yet again where we've been in our preaching history. A couple years ago, we gave 52 weeks given to the topic of dirt. Do y'all remember that? Anybody remember that? Yeah. We even had banners that said dirt. And I would point at you and I'd get excited. I'd say, God called you to be good dirt. And some of you who are like agricultural horticulturists would come up to you and say, the actual term is soil. And I'd be like, you get the point. Shut up. I said, got to be good dirt so that you could grow. And the way you're good dirt is you got to just have nutrients mixed in so that things can grow out of you. And I gave a whole year to preaching on you being good dirt. And then I said, you know what? The next year was Project Impact. You've been made for impact, and your impact is directly linked to your intimacy with the King of Kings. And I remember that year, that whole year, I gave another 52 weeks that I would say things like that. Man, you all woke up and you wanted to do something with your lives. Right? Nobody as a child says, I can't wait, Mom, to grow up and do nothing with my life. Little kids dream of doing great things, of being heroes, of rescuing and just changing the earth. And God created you for that sense of impact. And your impact comes from your proximity to the King of Kings. And then this year at the beginning, in the month of January, I had a bunch of tools on stage. And I said, y'all, a bunch of tools. Some of you wanted to fight me, but then you got what I was talking about. I said, you were made to be a tool in the hand of the King, but you won't be an effective tool unless you get with the King of Kings and you grow. And then in February, I did a whole month on sexuality, which has nothing to do with the topic today, but I just said that for fun. Because during the month of talking about sex, it was very enjoyable for me to watch some of you squirm. We're not talking about sex, we're talking about growing. And then this summer, I did a series, a five-week-long series titled Christian versus Disciple. You remember this? And we talked about how Christian is used only twice in the whole Bible, and it's really not defined, and therefore Christians have been stupid throughout our history, and we've justified things that are downright evil and unbiblical under the name of Christian, but the word Jesus used to describe his followers was disciple, and that's used over 160 times, and it's not ambiguous, it's directly defined, and we see what a disciple is. And so we've been leading up to this point where we spend all of our energies now challenging everybody who calls this place their home and the occasional visitor who wants to go along for the ride. The visitors that don't want to go along for the ride, just sit and watch. It's time that we up the ante even more on your growth. Because the point of your life, that's actually a good thing, right? I mean, we all want to know why we're here, right? I'm going to tell you why you're here. The point of your life, yeah, I don't know if you're, I see some people yawning out there. I'm about ready to tell you why you're here on planet Earth. Do you want to know why you're here on planet Earth? Because I'm going to tell you. Does anybody want to know? You are here on planet Earth to contribute to society by bringing joy and peace wherever you go. That is what you're here on planet Earth for. You are here to live for other people, not for their approval, but for their life and their blessing. You were made for impact, and it all is contingent upon how you grow. So Jesus would help us. He would say, how do we grow if it's all about me giving to other people and bringing joy? How do we do this? Jesus would help us with a bit of an analogy. In Luke chapter 13, he would say this. He would say, Jesus asked, what is the kingdom of God like? What is the kingdom of God like? What he's asking is he's setting up the stage. He's saying, what does it mean for my followers to bring my kingdom? What does it mean for my followers to be people who grow and impact the world? What does it look like? This thing called the kingdom of God. He would say this way. What shall we compare it to? It's like a mustard seed. Somebody say seed. Somebody better pray right now that I stay focused with this thing in my hand. It's like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden, and it grew and became a tree. Somebody say tree. Somebody say stay focused, Rob. It's like a mustard seed that a man took, planted the seed in the ground, and it became a tree. Play along. It's like a mustard
seed.
And it became a
tree.
And the tree, Jesus says, became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches. That is what your discipleship is supposed to be. And it's very confusing. Let me clear it up. It begins with you, did I blind you? Being a seed. What does that mean? It means in another place, Jesus said the word of God is like, it's like the word of God from a farmer who took some seeds and scattered it out on the ground. The word of God in you makes you a seed. Some of you are new to the faith, and this is a great place to be. In fact, this is the best place, really, because without the seed beginning, there will never be a tree that bears branches that people can rest in and provide shade and shelter. It begins with you becoming a seed. Now, some of you aren't even seeds. You're like over here by the fire alarm. And some of you are like over there by that fire alarm. Thank you. Thank you, Bubba. Bubba knows me. That's good. Here's the deal. If I'm actually focused, if you are by that fire alarm, you are in the place God wants you. Because God wants to move you in this direction to be a seed. It's not a source of pride to look at others and say, you ain't a seed and I am. You stink, loser. Rather, if you have people who are over here or over here, you just live out your seed life, and every now and then you tell them how God is growing you, and maybe you, if you're a seed or if you are not a seed, and if you have friends who aren't seeds, maybe they who are fire alarms will become a seed. This is really the best place to be, because without this, there's no beginning. And so maybe there's some of you who are over by the fire alarms and you've been here for a while and you've been hearing us talk about your growth and your freedom contingent upon your proximity to God. And well, maybe now is the time that you say, I want to be a seed. I want to surrender to Jesus and I want him to begin growing me, and this is where I want to be. But quite frankly, many of you aren't seeds. And if a church, listen to this, church, if a church doesn't have any seeds and doesn't have any people who aren't seeds, we're not doing our job, because the church doesn't exist for trees. In fact, the church is trees so that we can have seeds who have fire alarms. And so we need people. And if we're not reaching people like this or, you know, growing people here, we're not doing our job. So this is very important for us as the river, to have people growing, and maybe this is where you're at, or maybe you're not quite there and you need to be here. You're in a good place, and here's my encouragement to you: grow. Because if you're here, or if you're a seed, The goal that God has for you is for you to be a tree. And trees provide shelter and shade and fruit. This is a good image of what mature believers ought to be. Jesus would say, "What then shall we compare the kingdom of God to? It is like a man who took a seed, planted it into the ground, and it became a tree that provided branches for the birds to perch in." The goal isn't just to have folks over there, or over here, although that's a great place for some to be. The goal is to move to become a tree that provides shelter. Now, Jesus doesn't mention roots, but I did some study online this week, and in order, you might not know this, in order for a seed to become a tree, before that happens, the seed must send down what? So some of you might be over here in the maturity of your faith. You might be a tree blessing people wherever you go. Some of you might be here, but some of you might not be here or there. You might be right here in this middle ground that we are now calling roots, that is implied in the teachings when Jesus said, "What shall we compare the kingdom of God to?" It's like a seed that became a tree. So some of you are at that place where you're beginning to put down roots so that you can become a tree. So with the imagery of Jesus in mind, I want to just, this is the goal of discipleship at the river. We want folks who don't know Jesus, who are fire hydrants, prayer signs, or lamps right next to you. Don't be alarmed. Nice purse right there, by the way. Better help me, Bubba. The goal is to have people who don't know Jesus to meet Jesus. Anybody can belong, right? Anybody. You don't have to believe right to belong here. Anybody can belong so that eventually you can believe. That is, maybe become a seed. So that you can grow some roots and become, somebody say become, become a tree that's a blessing wherever it goes. This is what discipleship is. At the river looks like. Are you okay so far? But so far, I'm speaking in the abstract. And we need to get more concrete to help you and me grow as disciples of Jesus. And I want to go to one of y'all's favorite books of the Bible. What book do you think that I think is your favorite book of the Bible? Any guesses? No, not John. Thank you for playing. No, not Leviticus, close. Anybody else? No, not Jeremiah. Lamentations, of course. I'm sure most of you got up this morning, skipped the Gospels, skipped the epistles, and you went right to Lamentations because it moves you, right? With that in mind, we're going to Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40. How many of you, let's just be real, right? I admitted I had some issues this morning getting the best thing. It's okay to admit. How many of you had no idea there was a book in the Bible called Lamentations? Some of you are too. Thank you. Some of you are honest. Some of you are liars. So how do we move from this? This is a good concept, right? It's helpful to be a seed, to become a root, to become, this is the process, right? This is a good process. We get it, but it's still abstract. How do we get from out of the abstract to the concrete? We do it this way, from the book of Lamentations, the third chapter, verses 40 and 41. Let us. Now, when I say lettuce, I'm not talking salad. I'm talking two different words. Let us. Let us examine. Pay attention. Let us examine our neighbor's ways. Let us examine our neighbor's ways. And as people who've grown in the angry nature of God, judge them. It doesn't say that. But for some stupid reason, somebody say stupid reason. We in the church often think that our job is to examine the ways of people other than ourselves. It's not. Paul says, let us examine. Now, I'm reading because I want you to make sure I'm not making this up. Let us examine our ways and test them. Let us examine our ways and test them and let us return to the Lord. The way that we return to the Lord, the way that we grow in the Lord, is to look in a mirror and examine ourselves and to test our actions. Blaise Pascal, old smart dead guy, says an unexamined life is not worth living. And as I think of the American church over the years, and as I think of the river over our 11-year history, I wonder if part of the problem is we fail to have the courage to examine ourselves. And so for us to enter into this process of seed, root, tree, of growing, I think it begins with some honest processing of the self. Where am I? And if you took the time to examine, we might actually see that we're further along than we thought, and it's just depression and the lies of the enemy holding us down, and we could stand up straighter and say, wow. Or if we had the courage to examine and to look at ourselves, we might say, "Woo, I'm not as far along as I thought. I need a little humility, and I need to go back and take care of some of the basics." But friends, we will never move into the practical from moving to a seed, to a root, to a tree, unless there's some self-examination. You need to examine yourselves. And we've given you a tool to help you. Last week, when you saw my incredibly large head on the screen, if you were here, sorry about that, and Rod came up after and introduced our grow tool, we introduced for you the tool that will help you examine yourself. A year in the making. A year in the making, a tool that's given over solely for the point of helping you examine where you're at, whether you're a seed, a root, or a tree, because you need to know where you're at so you can go where you need to be. It's a tool. And it's a tool that we will not use to shame anybody on Sunday morning. I'm not going to look at the results individually. I can't even see the individual results. I'm not going to look at the individual results and get out my fancy new laser pointer and call on that person. Do you know what that person scored? What I will do is I'll say, hey, but look at everybody, this person, this one's the best in the whole church at this. You all should be like them losers. That's what I will do. No, I'm not going to do that either. It's a self-evaluation tool that you can discern where you're at, whether you're a seed, a root, a tree, or maybe not even a seed, so that you then can get up and go to the smorgasbord of discipleship and begin to feed yourself with the food that we have laid out for you to consume. And so since last week, let me see that first slide. As a church, 217 people have taken this test as of this morning. I took it 43 times. That might have skewed. No. It's not true. And what we've learned as a church, that collectively, our collective place in life is firmly right here. And that might be okay. And if you want to go to the next slide real quick, you will see that we are pretty good in these two areas, intimacy and community. We are firmly rooted in that. But we're closer under the root, down to the seed level when it comes to mercy and multiplication. That means we're mean and narcissistic. That's not true. But what is true is it tells us that, wow, here's some growth edges for us that we can grow in mercy and multiplication. Now, leave that one up, if you would, for a minute. We test these four areas for everybody so that you know where your strengths are, where your weaknesses are. And we do that under each of the four values, community, intimacy, mercy, multiplication. There are five different things that we are testing for you to know where you're at. So under community, there's five different things. Intimacy, there's five different things. Mercy, there's five different things. Multiplication, there's five different things. Four times five is? So there are 20 different areas that we're looking at as a church to see where we're at collectively. And the collective view, which is what you're seeing in this slide and the previous one, is what's going to shape my preaching in the year 2016. Your individual results, which will look a lot like this, will shape your marching orders and your growth for the years to come. Now, what Rod has done is worked incredibly hard as our adult discipleship pastor. He's collected all kinds of tools and vehicles for you to grow. We have Go tools that are things that you can actually get up off your seat and go do. My weakest area, when I took it, I scored 13% a tree. So just about right there. That's how I see myself. You probably would rate me a little lower or a little higher. It doesn't matter how you see me. Although, do you like the pink shirt today? It matters. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how you see me. It matters how I see me. And when I put all these things together, I scored about a 13% tree. I got a lot of growing to do yet. And my weakest area is sharing Christ with unbelievers. And as I thought about it, that was helpful. I never had that thought. I was looking in the mirror at myself. And it's, you know, do you know where I work for a living? I go to church on Tuesday morning. And I hang out with church employees all day, and then I go home to my family, and then on Tuesday I hang out with church people all day, and then on Sunday, you know who I hang out with most of the day? Church people. So it makes sense that my lowest area is sharing the faith with non-believers. That's helpful to me. And so it said, in my results, you'll get results too if you take this. Did I say if? When you take this, you're going to get results. It says, here's some things you can do. There's all kinds of things I could do, but that might be too much. It just said, here's some things that rise to the top. It gave me some go opportunities. I could go out in street ministry with Rod Tucker. That's a good opportunity. I could do that. Yeah. And then it gave me some no opportunities. And I actually listened to a podcast. Rod recorded 60 podcasts, some by himself, some with other people. I listened to a podcast this week that would help me in my understanding, my knowing how I could be better in sharing faith. And it was actually a podcast that Rod, our pastor of adult discipleship, did with Mike Huber, who is employed by Community Education in Portage Public Schools. It was a great podcast. I enjoyed it. It was very helpful for me. And I think it was 12 minutes long, so I just listened. It helped me know, and it helped me go. And then there were third opportunities. There were grow opportunities. So there were go ones, no ones, grow ones. You see how Rod did that? That's helpful, right? And the grow ones were spiritual disciplines offered to me that would help me in my sharing the faith. Like, who could I pray for by name who doesn't know the beauty of Jesus yet? That was very helpful. So having taken the test this week, I am now equipped to enact my grow. And I'm wondering how many of you will take part of this. 217 people, that's a great start. Way to go, church. But it's an awful ending. It's a good start, but it's an awful ending. If we're done with all this work that we've done and only 217 have self-examined where they're at, seed, root, tree, we're missing the mark. So you can go online at theriver.info. There will be people out there today who can help you take it right there in the lobby on iPads. There will be all kinds of ways that we can help you. You need to take responsibility for your growing because the Bible tells us, not in a suggestion, not in an option, but a command to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's going to take your effort to grow. Let me say this one last time. This is the last thing I'm saying today. The world will be better when you commit to your growth.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.